Well, I appreciate that testimony from Brother Moore. Wasn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Amen. Just be able to hear what God is doing. I can't fathom hardly a million, much less a billion, and then 2 billion Bibles that have gone out all around the world. All around the world, and just amazing what the Lord is doing. I don't believe, as far as I know, I do not believe that there is another ministry that is distributing Bibles in this way, as far as this much, and that is awesome what God is doing with His Word. 200 countries, did I hear that right, brother? 200 countries. Listen, I'm not sure, I don't have it right off. Does anybody know the exact amount of countries we have? I thought there was only like 260-something, but maybe I'm off. Does anybody here really good at geography know how many countries are on in our world? Anybody? No? Okay, we all need to go back to school, okay?
Some of ours are just territories because they're, I think the cutoff is 10,000.
Yeah. People, yeah. Well, the bottom line is, that's most of the world, folks. Most of the world. And that's a lot of places, and I'm thankful for that. And I will be praying as a church what we can do to help out with the Gideon ministry, and so that we can participate in getting God's Word out. I'm very, very thankful for that. Thank you for your testimony as well, brother. And I hope that speaks to hearts. And it definitely leads us into the message tonight. If you can find your place in Ephesians chapter 6 again, we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 6. We started this series on Wednesday nights, but the Lord had just laid on my heart about a week ago or so to go ahead and hit these two aspects today of the armor of God, and I'm glad He did. I feel like that's what the Lord really wanted for us to have this morning, and then tonight we're going to also address the next piece of armor that we see. Since we all read it together this morning, I'm just going to pick up there where we left off this morning, verse 16. We'll just pick up there. That's what we preached on this morning. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench, extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we stop there. And then tonight, let's pick up in verse 17. And we're going to take that first part of verse 17 tonight, and then the next, whether that be this coming Wednesday or next Sunday, we'll hit the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But tonight, we're going to be here where it says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. As I was praying over this and how the series was leading in this, I've been at this series for at least close to 2 months now through Ephesians 6, but we had this night planned for a while now, several weeks, where I didn't know we were going to be right around the helmet of salvation when Brother Moore was going to come, but the Lord worked that out. I just felt like the Lord was in that, and I'm thankful for that because this is a piece of the armor that we're going to see here, how there's special reference to the helmet of salvation. And we're going to talk about that word salvation that Brother Moore was referring to about his salvation, his true salvation. But before we get into the Word of God, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You for what You did in our hearts already tonight. And through Brother Moore's testimony of the Gideon ministry and then his own personal salvation testimony, I thank You for his service to You, Lord, and his salvation. Lord, thank You for him sharing that with us tonight. We also want to thank You for his service to our community. And Lord, we just thank You for all that You're doing in our lives. Thank You for what You're doing here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And Lord, we just pray that You'd continue working tonight. I know the devil doesn't want me to bring this message. I know he's upset about it, and he's going to try to hinder the message. But Lord, we claim that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The Lord Jesus, greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And Lord of God, I pray that there's someone struggling tonight with their salvation. Lord, I beg You, please do not let them leave this place without getting that settled. Lord, you have to do the drawing. I can't manipulate, won't try to. I'm not going to try to use scare tactics, Lord. It won't work. Lord, I just want you to draw. And I just pray that as I lift up the name of Jesus, Lord, you draw all men into yourself. And I thank you for what you'll do tonight through the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God. We love you, Lord, and thank you for first loving us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see here the helmet of salvation. We have now gone through the whole armor of God. We started with understanding we need the whole armor of God, which started out with having our loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth, that which holds the armor together in place, which everything rests upon, truth. What we believe, our faith is based upon the truth of God's Word. And then we went on to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. And then we talked about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we talked about this morning the shield of faith. And just seeing how this armor is all coming together. And they're all connected in some way or another. Some of them are similar in their uses, if you will, but they all have a distinction about them, but they are also connected in some way. And we'll see that tonight too as we move from the shield, we will move to the helmet of salvation. Now, we all know the importance of anybody that knows anything about battle. You see soldiers, you know, you see things, if you know, on CNN and Fox News, and you see pictures and magazines and whatever the case may be. You see battles. Guess what? The soldier's going to have a helmet on. He's going to have a helmet of protection to protect himself in our day and age, through whether it be bullets, whatever the case may be, shrapnel from grenades that are blowing up. It's to protect him. And we know the importance of it. And it is also in this day and age, even though they didn't have guns, but you better believe they had some of the sharpest swords you'd ever seen in your life. I mean, they knew how to sharpen them. They had good metal. They knew what they were doing. They would use also these shorthand swords. They would have the handles would be almost sort of like almost a samurai sword. The handle would almost just be just as long as the blade would be. But it was for shorthand combat as well. And they had daggers, and boy, if they could get a lick, if they could get a swat, a strike against the head with that sword, you were finished. You were finished. And the helmet of salvation is speaking here how the importance of protecting the head. And so what is it speaking of for us? Well, it's speaking about the importance, simply, can I say this, the importance of salvation. How important it is to protect that salvation that Jesus has given to all those that believe. Because listen to my words carefully. Satan will try to take that salvation, even though he knows he cannot. He will try to rob that salvation and take it away, but God has given us the helmet of salvation. I believe this armor refers, we could also say, to the hope of salvation that we have in Christ. He is our protector. He is our helmet of salvation. The very meaning of salvation refers to deliverance. Being delivered. Being delivered from something. Being rescued from something. And I want to tell you something. If you have salvation, you've been delivered. You've been rescued. In fact, I don't know if you've seen my personal testimony track. I'm trying to get some ordered. And that's the title of my personal testimony because I was in the Coast Guard at the time. And when I got saved, and the title on that track is, Have You Been Rescued? I spent 4 years of my life rescuing people, their physical lives, but thank God during that time I realized I was the one that needed to be rescued, but I just needed to be rescued spiritually. I needed to be delivered, and I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus did do that. He delivered me. So we see this idea of salvation, the helmet of salvation. It speaks of deliverance and that which we've been delivered from and how meaningful that should be to each of us. Listen, the blood-bought child of God, and here in this room tonight, and any blood-bought child of God, we have been delivered from the penalty of sin. The penalty. That's the eternal wrath of Almighty God. I can't even fathom it, folks. I cannot fathom that very fact. I can't get my mind wrapped around it. I know it's true. It comes straight out of the Word of God. But the very fact that people will spend an eternity without God in the lake of fire, I cannot get my mind wrapped around that. But even what even boggles me more, and when I'm not going to die, I'm going to be thankful, I'm going to rejoice, is the very fact that I've been delivered from it. Hallelujah. That right there is something you have to understand. And if you don't have an understanding of your salvation, can I just simply say it tonight? You're missing your helmet. You're missing your helmet if it's something that you're not sure if you have this salvation of deliverance. Well, can I say, first of all, this salvation that I believe it's talking about is simply the salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. Found through the cross of Jesus Christ, the penalty that He paid. That is something that you have to have when you go into battle. You have to know. You have to know without a shadow of a doubt you have that salvation. Because if you're not, I've mentioned before in some of the other parts of the armor, the devil will wreak havoc on the individual that does not have security. Eternal security. I believe there's probably... Maybe not. Maybe you're an exception. And if you're the exception, praise God. And I don't say that facetiously. I mean it. But most of us have experienced it at some point or another in our life where we have doubted our salvation. Because the devil will throw those fiery darts at us and get us to doubt. And we need to be ready for that. And we need to be ready. And there may be someone here tonight that you need to get that settled so you don't have to go through life doubting. Salvation, I really believe here, first of all, primarily speaking, the salvation through the cross of Jesus. And can I say that? That speaks in the sense of past tense. We've been delivered from. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Can I say, first of all, about the helmet of salvation, it cannot be bought. Listen, I know our government issues those soldiers, man, when they go to boot camp, they get ready to get out. Boy, they get their gear. I remember getting my sea bag, and man, I remember getting my gear. Man, that's an exciting time. But the fact is, it's issued by the government. They give you all that, and you're armed with it wherever you may be, and it's given. Well, listen, can I tell you, for the soldier of Jesus Christ, our armor comes from the God of heaven. And we can't buy it. Just like when I go to boot camp and when I go to get my gear or my armor, I don't go up there and pay for it. The government issues that. They have the authority there. They're giving that to me. Well, it's the same way for the child of God. The helmet of salvation, it cannot be purchased. It's given to those, get it, that have been enlisted. Those that have enlisted in the God, in the Lord God's army by simply receiving Jesus Christ. By the way, can I say this? You're a soldier of the cross. Listen to me. You are a soldier of the cross whether you want to be or not. You're going to be either a downhearted, lazy, God help us, soldier. Or you're going to be a soldier that steps up to the plate and is ready to battle, ready to fight for the glory of God. I told the young men this morning, I said, men, and we're studying fighting Goliath. And David was a representative of Saul at this time. It's after he had been promoted after the Battle of Goliath, whatnot. He'd been promoted by Saul, and Saul put him in charge of the army. Well, he then became a representative of Saul. And he said he behaved himself wisely. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but the very fact of the matter is, listen, as soldiers of the cause, we are representative of the Lord Jesus. We are representing our God as soldiers of the cross. And we see here that the helmet of salvation, it cannot be bought. It is given. On the day of salvation, we are given the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. As we read about that this morning, I preached on that, in the very fact that the helmet has been given by the God of heaven. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, our great king, hey, he does not sell his armor. He never sells it. He never sells his armor. It is given to us freely. Thank God for that. I'm thankful for 1 Peter. What does 1 Peter say? Chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Oh boy. Listen, this salvation, it hadn't been bought with anything that we could buy it, even if we had all the money in the world. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but get this, but with the precious blood of Christ." The precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Listen, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Again, we can't purchase this helmet. We can't purchase our salvation. What does Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 say? "In whom we also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that of the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance," get this, "until the redemption of the purchased possession." We were purchased. God has purchased us, and there's nothing that we can earn of this salvation. He bought it. He paid for it all. And I'm telling you what, boy, if it scares me to death when I talk to somebody about salvation and I ask them, "What are you depending upon to get you to heaven?" It scares me to death when I hear, "Well, believe in Jesus," and then they continue, "And go to church and pay my tithe, be good." Listen, you can't add anything to salvation. It's got to stop. It's got to start and stop with Jesus. Period. It's in Him alone. It's not no name written in the membership book. It's not baptism. No, friend. If you think that, you know what you're saying. I need to add a little bit to it. I just don't think Jesus really got it all covered. So I need to just do a little extra just to make sure. Listen, you don't add anything to this. This salvation cannot be purchased. It is given to those that have come to Christ by faith. Listen, it cannot be bought, but I want to tell you something else, praise God. It cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. This helmet that God has given us, the helmet of salvation, it cannot be broken. Why? Because the God of heaven Himself holds it together. I don't know all the details of these Roman soldiers, these helmets they wore back in this time, but I hear they were extremely durable. Most of them made of metal in some way, with also leather as the shields would have been. And they were extremely protective. They were that which they could be greatly depended upon when the strikes of the sword would, perhaps he would miss it with the shield and perhaps would come across the head. It would help block that blow from being devastating. It was very durable, and it could not be broken. And it also, not only could it not be broken, but I'll tell you something. You might knock a Roman soldier's helmet off, but for the Christian soldier, for the helmet, it cannot be removed. It cannot be removed. It cannot be removed. Why? Because it's held on by the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse 28 through 29 says this, "I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Man, praise God for that promise. Jesus says, "No man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all." Is greater than all. Look, listen, nobody can take your helmet off. God won't let them. The helmet of salvation is sure. It will be there. It says, "No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I like what Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, "Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost." To the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for him. Listen, the helmet of salvation could be easily removed if it was up to me. I'm telling you what, it would be easily broken if it was up to me. Brother Moore, I'd be without a helmet every single day if it was up to me. But it ain't up to me. God keeps my helmet on. The helmet of salvation, It cannot be broken. It cannot be bought. Listen, I just want to encourage you tonight. Listen, Perhaps the devil has convinced you that you no longer have a helmet. Perhaps you are here tonight and you feel like you don't even know if you have a helmet. Perhaps you feel like it's been broken and you don't have the security of the helmet of your salvation. Listen. Get that settled. Get that settled. I don't believe that that you heard Brother Moore's testimony, and I don't believe Brother Sam would mind me sharing this. Most of you know Brother Sam's testimony. But you know, Brother Sam came to a point where he made a profession of faith at a younger age, but he had years where he struggled with doubt. Brother Sam Mark, our dear brother in our church, and he struggled with doubt big time. And he struggled with the fact that, and I know that hurt him. It says he was in turmoil at times, and he just got to the point where he's just so fed up with struggling whether or not he truly had been born again. He had doubts. He remembers making some sort of a profession of faith, but there was the continual doubts, and I really commend him to what he did. He got counsel on it, of course, but what God had led him to do, he says, what I need to do to remove all doubt is I want to make this thing right. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to come before God with a pure heart saying, God, I have been in extreme doubt and I don't remember all the details, but I know one thing. I am very aware of what's going on in my life tonight. And I am making my faith and trust in You, Lord Jesus, and You alone. Amen. Praise God. That took courage. That took faith. Because he's saying, listen, the devil is not going to beat me. I'm going to have my helmet of salvation and I'm making this thing right. And he went ahead and got baptized too to follow salvation as believer's baptism. And I'm not saying that has to be your story tonight if you're having doubts. I'm not recommending that, but it might be the case where you have gone day after day, week after week, the devil keeps coming back at you, making you doubt whether you are truly born again. Stop that. Quit letting him beat you. God wants you to have your salvation sure and secure because that's the way He made it. He bought it so that you would have full assurance in your heart that He paid it in full. The helmet of salvation. He desires for each of His children to have securely, not to doubt whether it's there. And I don't believe anybody in this room, without a doubt, I don't believe anybody in this room would look down in a condescending way to somebody that perhaps has been struggling with this, that needs to get that settled tonight. I would not believe it for a moment. In fact, I believe the total contrary, that there would be encouragement, that there would be rejoicing. For folks that can get it nailed down so you can stop living a defeated life and get your salvation nailed down. So when the blows of Satan come across your bow, you got the whole armor of God, you got the shield of faith, and you got the helmet of salvation. Listen, God's helmet of salvation here that He gives His children, the Christian soldier, it cannot be bought. Don't even try. But thank God it can't be broken. But I want us to see here also about this helmet of salvation. It cannot be bought and it cannot be broken. But I want to tell you one thing. It must be bright. You say, well, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, these Roman soldiers, from what I understand in studying about warfare, Roman soldiers and their warfare and their battles, is that that's one thing that they took great honor in was their helmets. And man, I remember it now after reading about this and studying. I remember when I was in the Coast Guard how important it was to have things nice and shiny. My shoes, now y'all don't look at my shoes. I don't do it like I used to do in the Coast Guard, okay? I try to keep them up, but I need to do some work on them. But not only my shoes, but guess what? My lapel pins for my rank and also my belt buckle. That was something they purposely gave you, a belt buckle that you had. Anybody heard of Never Dull? The little cotton stuff that you just shine with. I don't know if they still sell it in the stores or not, but I do know that we had to do that all the time. We had to constantly be shining the belt buckle. And these Roman soldiers, from what I understand, did that with their helmets. They are always, when they had inspections, man, that Roman general, when he would walk by those soldiers standing for inspection, he would come by and he would inspect that helmet. He'd be looking around. He'd be looking for rust because that was not tolerated. He's looking for a shine. He's looking for brilliancy. He's looking that, look, these guys are ready. And that was very intimidating when they would go and you would just see hundreds or thousands of these shiny helmets reflecting off the sun. Boy, you're talking about intimidation. It was obvious to the enemy that their helmets were there. Listen, it needs to be obvious to the devil that your helmet is there. It needs to be obvious to the devil that your helmet is there, and there is nothing that he will ever do to take that from you. If you don't have that assurance, I beg you, friend, please do not go on in life without getting that assurance. If it means you getting saved tonight, hallelujah. We will rejoice. And you don't have to go on continuing doubting this thing. You get it nailed down in your heart. You make it real. You make it sincere. It's not for anybody else but for my Lord. Because you got to have the helmet of salvation. It's got to be there. It needed to be bright. It needed to be obvious. And I think that's why Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I told the young men this morning, you know, you talk to those people, listen, I don't know whether that person is saved or not, and then you might hear the response, and I can understand this context, and I agree with it to a certain in a certain context, but it's this, we don't know their heart. That's true. God only knows the heart, but as humans, we don't get to see the heart. We only see what's on the outside. We only see what's obvious. And God is saying, listen, with this helmet of salvation, I believe it needs to be obvious to others that it's making a difference in our lives. Look what James chapter 2, verse 17 through 19 says. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, get this, is dead, being alone. Now, I believe that it's not talking about if you don't have works, doesn't mean you're not saved. Some people take that way. I personally don't. I just believe that what that passage means, that if you don't have works with your faith, your faith is vain. I believe that it's ineffective. It's not accomplishing anything for your Lord. Because I believe saved people can get carnal and get lazy and not have necessarily the works there. But the truth here, most definitely, that no one can argue with, if you say you have faith, but you are not demonstrating God working in your life, it's dead. It's dead. It's no good. It's not being effective in this world. And Satan will target that. Listen to what he says. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. He says, show me thy faith without thy works. And James says, I will show thee my faith by my works. Listen to verse 19. This ought to scare anybody that is not sure if they're saved. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Hey, it's got to be real. It's got to be sincere. Listen, if you want to have an effective helmet of salvation, you've got to know it's there. It's secure. It cannot be bought. It cannot be broken. It cannot be removed. And do your dead level best to let that helmet shine to the enemy so that he can't come back to you and making you doubt. Listen, I don't know, Brother Moore, at least from what I've experienced. I don't know, I'm sure there are, but there are a few things that I can think of that are more disheartening to the believer and more disabling than the believer struggling with his salvation. I really believe that. I really believe it just disables from the battle that we're supposed to fight. And instead of battling and standing strong, we retreat because we're not even sure if we've been bought. God does not want anybody here doubting. If you're doubting, one or two things. Either you have gotten some confused, you need to have some counsel and just looking into the Word of God about having assurance. Or secondly, you just need to get saved and get it settled. No need going on in that sort of state of mind, it will drive you crazy and it will drive you to the point of insanity until you get to the point where you say, well, there is no God. I'll just live life with myself and for myself. That's the ultimate end, to not having the helmet of salvation. Listen, I could go through another point tonight, but I'm not, about another way I believe this verse could be looked at in the sense of salvation. But can I say this before closing? Please listen. We all understand the importance of helmets here tonight. I mean, you hear about all kinds of talk of the football right now, especially NFL, especially of the concussions that are taking place more than they ever have before, and the serious damage that's causing. And they're trying to get more and more careful with that, which I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. They're giving more penalties against targeting, and I'm a believer in that. But the importance of the helmet, could you imagine if those men were playing without helmets? Those big 300-pound, 200-pound humongous monsters is what a lot of them look like, coming at you, hitting you with all their might and power. You better believe you better have a helmet on. You're going to be dead right there on the field if you don't. Helmets. Baseball. Could you imagine those rascals, man? A 100-mile-an-hour fastball coming down the line, and you're standing up there without a helmet, and that pitcher was off a few feet, hit you in the head, you're dead right there. No questions. You're dead. The importance of that helmet is for protection against something like that. I know my wife was so happy when we knew the Lord was calling us to Georgia in more ways than one, but down the line, not the number one reason she was happy, but down the line, one of the reasons my wife was happy about coming, that we were being called to Georgia, is because she knew that the state law in Georgia was for me, if I'm riding my motorcycle, was to have a helmet. Because I have to admit, I was not a very good boy in South Carolina. I did not always wear my helmet. But now, I'll be honest with you, I've gotten used to it, and I believe if I go back to South Carolina, I will have my helmet on. Now, honey, you hold that against me. I know you will. But the importance of helmet, I mean, it's just unreal the amount, the percentage of people that die on motorcycle accidents who do not have their helmet on. It's so important. And it's a good thing that they've made it the law, state law in Georgia. It's a very good thing. But can I tell you what's even more important? My dear friend, tonight is the helmet of salvation. Make sure you have it. Don't play with God. You will grow immensely through having assurance of your salvation. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to have an invitation, and if God is dealing with you, we got counselors ready. If God is dealing with any of you about the assurance of your salvation, and something that you just need to get settled tonight, you need counsel, you need somebody to take the Bible and show you. I'm so thankful for Anna's testimony the other night, a couple months ago. She struggled, she got it nailed down, she got it settled. You can do that too. I don't care how old you are, I don't care how old you are in the faith. You may need to get assurance, you may need to get it settled. Tonight, let God have His way so that you can have liberty, so that you can be in the battle against Satan. Listen, as your preacher, I want to testify something. I don't enjoy sharing this because it's embarrassing, but it shouldn't be embarrassing because it happens to all of us. I've doubted my salvation. Even in being on the mission field, I can be on the mission field and doubting my salvation. Here I am, a missionary, Lord, and I'm struggling with this. I don't remember all the details about being saved, and I know what I did, but God got me through that. I got the counsel I needed. I got into the Word of God and God's Spirit. And don't be ashamed if you're doubting tonight. Just get help. Get it settled. Don't continue on this track. Don't be ashamed of it. God will bless you for your humility and just making sure that you get it right. With heads bowed and eyes closed.